Addicted to the Drug War by Reverend Kathleen McTeague of the Unitarian Society of New Haven, Connecticut, contains these words. Reverend McTeague emphatically states that we are not winning the war on drugs begun 30 years ago under the Reagan administration. The Drug Policy Alliance estimates that the U.S. spends $51 billion annually on the war on drugs, $51 billion. Other authors have said the true cost, including the cost of prisons, prison personnel, judges, court staff, attorneys, prosecutors, is more than $1.5 trillion. Are we getting anything further, all this money? As daunting as it may be to say out loud, Reverend McTeague says, the truth is that the war on drugs in this country is tangled up with some of the most daunting dimensions of our national life together. These include racism, military policy, prison overcrowding, and I would add the growth of the private for-profit prison industry and the defense industry, adapting their products to prison use. The inequities of the legal system, poverty, and the conflicts between private morality and public laws. In 1994, she goes on, the White House and the U.S. Army together commissioned a study by the Rand Institute to assess different strategies for reducing cocaine consumption in our country. It was an exhaustive study of the four primary methods to combat cocaine: drug treatment programs, domestic enforcement through police and prison sentences, the policy of interdiction or seizing drugs at border entry points, and the policy known as source country control when we operate as we are doing in Colombia, seeking to destroy the drug at its source. The RAND study concluded that drug treatment programs were the most cost-effective strategy in reducing cocaine consumption. Drug treatment programs, outpatient and residential taken together, were not found to be slightly more effective than other strategies. They were discovered to be 7 times more cost-effective than domestic enforcement. Drug treatment programs are 11 times more cost-effective than border interdiction, and a whopping 23 times more effective than source control through military force. In other words, the report showed us in clear and quantified terms that the drug war as currently structured is being run backwards, and that vastly more money should be put into treatment than into all the other efforts. You would think that such a report with such decisive and dramatic conclusions would immediately cause our leaders to change direction. Instead, both the Clinton White House and the U.S. Army tried to get RAND to soften its conclusions. When this failed, they simply rejected the findings of the study that they themselves had commissioned. And then the same administration declared a massive escalation in funds, equipment, and personnel dedicated to eradicating coca fields in Colombia without providing any substitute crops for their farmers to grow, pushing them into extreme poverty. In other words, they sent us marching energetically and en masse down precisely the path that had been proven least cost-effective in the war on drugs. I would personally add that the extremely high cost of inpatient treatment, with a typical 30-day inpatient stay costing anywhere from $4,000 to $45,000, and the severe limits that most health insurance policies put on mental health, alcohol, and substance abuse treatment, Put those together and you have a recipe for failure for most American families, even if they're not among the 47 million Americans who have no health insurance. I'm deducting 3,000 from that due to Obamacare. As I mentioned in my June 22nd sermon, the 57,000 child refugees coming now from Central America into our country who are running for their lives from gang violence and paramilitary death squads are indeed the children of the drug war. Amy Goodman, the host for Democracy Now!, put it this way. These children have been spurred north to avoid the violence of the drug war, U.S. drug policy, gangs, and severe systemic poverty caused by dirty wars conducted by the U.S. in Latin America for more than 100 years. The genocide of 400,000 Mayan and other indigenous people in Guatemala during the 36-year war, which was started to protect the financial interests of United Fruit Company. The unfair trade agreements and the destabilization from years of US installed, trained, and supported dictatorships. Goodman says these brave children are trying to save their own lives by journeying north. Our job in the US is to solve the underlying policy issues that compel their flight. Reverend McTeague raises the big question, quote, this rigid march down a losing path is so dramatic that it forces us to ask, what else might be going on here? What's going on when the top people in government drug policy argue against money for treatment? What else is driving this addiction to the drug war? One possible answer was spoken by Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan. He said, we are choosing to have an intense crime problem concentrated among minorities. It's very difficult to disagree with these chilling words. Think about our minimum sentencing laws, so radically skewed toward much harsher penalties for drugs that are more often used by Black people. The minimum sentence is 100 times more severe for possession of crack cocaine than powder cocaine. Think about the racial profiling that leads to proportionally more Blacks and Latinos being searched for drugs than whites. Think about the color of our prison populations. And remember that nearly 500,000 residents of our prisons, 500,000 are there on drug charges. Think about the enormous growth of the private and highly profitable prisons being built each year to house our nation's young men and women with serious drug addictions, where there are no treatment programs and illicit drugs are abundant and easy to score within the prison walls. What's really going on with our military aid to Colombia? McTeague continues. Few of us would have cause to know that when Plan Colombia was being drafted, some of those pushing most fiercely for the huge military package within the US were companies with nothing at all to do with drug policy. They included oil companies, weapons manufacturers like Occidental Petroleum, Enron Corporation, BP Amoco, United Technologies Corporation, and Bell Helicopter. They have an interest here, but it doesn't have to do with curbing the drug trade. It has to do with profits. McTeague ends by quoting Walter Wink, quote, it is high time we addressed the problem of illicit drugs, not as a war to be won, but as an epidemic to be checked, a disease to be curbed, and an opportunity to see ourselves in the faces and mutilated veins of our addicted brothers and sisters. How can members of James Reeb UU congregation get involved in shifting from the ineffective war on drugs strategy of mass incarceration to a far less expensive and more effective drug and alcohol treatment model? Well, folks, we already have. Many of us have been getting actively involved in MOSES, the interfaith organization in Madison that is taking the first steps in fighting for this sea change from the criminal model to the medical model here in Wisconsin. Some of our members have taken leadership roles in MOSES, which has made a significant impact on increased funding for treatment alternatives to prison this year. Not nearly enough, but a good first step. The thing that is changing most in America right now is the attitudes of average Americans toward how to resolve our enormous drug crisis. After 30 years of seeing no results, no positive results from the war on drugs, are, according to most polls, far more ready now to accept the idea of treatment, drug and alcohol treatment programs rather than imprisonment. Although I didn't start writing this sermon as a plug for MOSES, the more I read in other sources, the more I realized how right on we are with our activity in MOSES. So we invite you to attend a monthly MOSES meeting on a Saturday morning and to join its programs for alternatives to incarceration. Some conservatives are also lending support because of the huge savings in tax dollars. And with your involvement, hope lies ahead.